Hello, in this video we'll have a look on how to build an asynchronous site collection creation experience for the end users so that you're able to, for example, build a self-service site collection creation UI where the end users are able to request a site collection. Those requests are stored for approval. Whenever they are approved, they are then actually stored or processed and the site collection is created properly. And this particular example is part of the Patterns and Practices guidance example, so it's called Provisioning Cloud Async, and it actually consists from two different solutions, and I'm going to explain why. So this is the first solution. This is the UI part. So this is where the end user, this is the one which is implementing the user interface, which also needs to be installed on the SharePoint farm, and that's why we have this app project here, which is introducing the app itself, and that's to provide a hosted application side of the solution. Like with all of the our patterns and practices guidance thing examples, we have the README, which is explaining the details of the solution. The second part of the solution is an isolated console application, so it's actually a different solution. It could be absolutely in a one solution as well, but it's called Provisioning Cloud Async Console, and this is actually our remote time job. So this is the fellow who's responsible of going and checking, are there any requests in the queue? In this case, it's a SharePoint list-based queue. It could be based on storage queues, and this could be actually implemented as a web job as well. But we wanted to keep things simple for this slightly more simplified sample. But anyway, this is the remote timer job, which is actually accessing the SharePoint and checking, do we have anything to process? Do we have anything to process? And whenever we do, it is then actually starting the creation of a site collection, where it needs to have a pretty high permission. So it actually has a tenant administrator the permission given by the OAuth tokens, but using the app-only token approach. So let's start the demo, and let's do an F5 in the UI part. So we're actually installing this UI part to my dev site. And the first thing, what it actually does when it installs the UI part, it is asking us to trust that UI. Technically, this UI part is actually creating a list or adding an item to that list in a host web. So it doesn't actually need to have that high permissions. But it is actually asking tenant administrative permissions for the sake that we'll use the same permissions within our remote timer job as well. We could absolutely register an alternative client ID and a secret pair, but this is one way of sharing the same ID across your individual solutions, or especially in this case when we have that external remote timer job running somewhere else. So I'm going to trust that provider hosted application, and you can actually see the UI which can be used then to request the new site collections by the end users. So we're able to pick what kind of a template do we actually want to do. Let's do a template. Let's give it a name. Let's give it a name called name. Let's give it a URL for the site. Let's call this BNP site call. And give it an email to notify when the request has been processed. So let's do something like vesace@vescoonline.com and give it a description. And now that we click the create, we don't actually start the creation of the site collection. What we do is that we make sure that we have a list available where we're able to store that request. So the first thing what we do is that we run ensure request list, and because the request list isn't there within a site collection, in the host web, it will actually create the list using then following lines of code. So it actually adds the necessary fields, necessary columns running the CSUM to the host web. And now the list already exists. And now we're adding those additional columns to the list. And then we're able to proceed. Then it takes the instance of an end user. It adds that request to the queue. So let's actually have a quick look on that one. We are collecting that information, what we just entered in the UI, the name, site URL, templates, and so on. And we are adding a status to be requested. So it's ready to be processed, but it hasn't been yet processed properly. And the key point from this side now, the UI part is actually saying this one. So it is an asynchronous process. The end user doesn't have to wait the site collection to be created, because it might actually take quite a long time, depending on an environment. Is it an on-prem, is it a cloud, and what is the current load of that environment? So essentially, we're saying your request that has been recorded with this particular settings, and we'll process your request automatically. We will send you an email whenever that processing has completed. Actual request in this particular case is stored in a SharePoint list. So if I click proceed, I can actually go to the list itself, which is a site requests list, which was created, which is having that request now stored. And this is the list which we used for the status tracking as well. So the status is now requested. In this particular case, we don't have any approval attached to this one, but this would be the list would be the perfect place to have that approval process included. And then whenever we are checking are there ready requests to be processed, we would be making sure that those requests have been already approved. So there's our request. And now we need to have that remote timer job part. So remote timer job is essentially, it might be code, it might be PowerShell, it might be a property hosted application, it might be whatever code or whatever thingy which is running somewhere and contacting the SharePoint and operating using the CSAM APIs. And this particular case, it's our console application, which I showed already when we started the video. For to be able to access the SharePoint, we need to use a valid client ID and a secret. So we need to have a valid client ID and a secret available to be able to connect to the SharePoint site. To get those properly, in this case, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to move into my provider hosted application site, because that had those pretty high permissions. I'm just taking advantage of that client ID and secret, which was already registered. In a real world, you might be doing the same, or you might be registering a separate pair of client ID and secrets for the console application. Again, it slightly depends. There's multiple factors to make that decision. So I'm going to copy that client ID and a secret to my console application. I'm pointing to that URL where my requests are stored. That was a dev site underneath my sites. And then there should be a list called site requests. So I'm going to put a breakpoint here. The good thing about when you're doing a remote timer jobs, we don't have any timeouts, because in a provider hosted application time, if you start debugging the code and it takes too long, what will happen is that the IIS process will time out, and therefore you cannot access the site, or the process will not be completed. But in this case, it's a console application, so I'm going to actually run start with an F5. And what we're doing is that, first of all, we are getting that site URL, the target site where the list is located, and where do we have given those permissions with the client ID and a secret. And what we're doing here is that we're taking advantage of the app-only access token. So now the end user permissions doesn't matter. We've given a access app-only access for that client ID and a client secret. And moving on, we are then accessing that individual list, which is there. There's our list. And then we're doing a COM query, where we go that towards the list and say, give us all the items which are in a requested status. And I'm actually interested about 10 of those. So a really small amount of items at the once time. And then we get a list of list items available for processing. This time it's only one, because it's the same one which we were actually accessing. And because the site creation might take a long time, and there's just a double checking, we're reloading that item and making sure that it's still in requested status before we actually start processing. And then the following line is there to make sure that it's no longer in a requested status. So if there would be multiple processes accessing the same list, we would now go and update that list to be in a new status. It's going to be in a provisioning status. So let's actually update that one properly and get back on the site collection creation. Before we go there, let's double check that our entry is properly updated. So there's our site requests. I'm going to do refresh. And now you're able to see that the status is actually provisioning, and the provisioning has started on a certain time. It's just a good practice to have that additional message there, so you actually know is it now somehow in hold status, or has there been an exception or whatever. And now this item won't be no longer available for the processing if there's multiple threads accessing the same item. It's now in processing status, not in requested status. So let's actually process the start request. So I'm going to go to this method, which is then walking through the actual creation of the site collection. So let's see that we actually get the we are resolving what is this tenant admin UI or the URL, and there's my tenant admin URL. It was a j/admin/sharepoint.com, and then I'm accessing that tenant admin URL. You're also using the app only token because I need to have the tenant level permissions and access to admin URL, so I'm able to create new site collections. In this case, we are creating a site collection with the URL of BNP site call. We call that tenant assembly or tenant DLL create site with those properties which we just set in here. And then we do an execute query. The thing about the creation of site collections within the Office 365 is that they are actually asynchronous. So what we can do is that we're able to do while operation loop and check every 15 seconds if the status has been changed after that execution query is executed. So when I do this one, I'm actually stepping into that following line pretty fast. So that request is processed, Office 365 starts or has that request now locked relatively fast as a request to create a new site collection. And then it starts looping or checking whenever that request is available or whenever that site collection processing is completed. So what we're doing here is that we take a 15-minute sleep or nap within the process, which doesn't really matter because this is, again, a remote timer job. And we would really want to make sure that that site collection has been processed before we go to the following step. There would be theoretical alternative ways of designs to do this, but still, this is probably the most convenient and the easiest way to think through. Is it completed? The completed is false, and we can still go through and wait a 15 seconds. So this process might take a slightly longer than we want to actually wait within the video. So I'm going to actually do an F5, and with the magic of video editing, I'm going to move away the amount of time actually needed to make this as easily approachable as possible. So I'm going to pause the video recording. I'm going to go back when we hit that following line or the breakpoint, apply template for created site collection. And now, after a while, that was actually surprisingly fast, we are actually done. So the site collection now exists within our Office 365, and we are able to actually go and see that. Let's go and make sure that that site collection exists. Properly, you're able to see that in the admin UI, and then we're able to access that also using the browser as well. So the site collection has been created, but the site collection is still using that out-of-the-box UIs and out-of-the-box configuration. Now the following part is then to go through and think through how do we modify that newly created site as part of that this site self-service site collection process with the business requirements, with the right branding, with the right settings and right options. So in here we are able to see the BNP request whenever we get the site list of site collections. There we go. Let's actually copy that one. And now if we go to that site collection, we're able to see that it's an out-of-the-box theme site at this moment. But that's not where we actually want to end. We want to have that site columns, content types, branding, all of the custom lists, whatever is needed within the site. And that's what the following part of the code is actually doing. In this case, it's a relatively simple part. It's only going to actually concentrate on the branding. Once again, it takes a context to that newly created URL, newly created site collection, using the app-only access token. Then it applies a garage branding or uploads the garage branding to that site collection. And that's essentially uploading the needed files for that custom theme called Garage, which is using a Seattle.muster. And then it applies that theme to that site collection as well. And applying a theme, again, one takes slightly longer because an applying of a theme will override the CSS settings, or it will actually create some dynamic CSS files on fly to that newly created site collection. So that takes us slightly more than, and for example, just adding a property called alternate CSS property or whatever is needed. There we go. And then the following step is that we're actually uploading a logo to the host web, and then we could be adding the logo to the host web app as well. Unfortunately, that's now uncommented within this implementation. Now we have applied our business requirement. We could have done much more than this. Now, right now, we actually just added a custom theme to the site. We could have actually created site collection. We could have created, sorry, lists and libraries and all of those things, site columns and content types. But anyway, now it's already customized based on your custom branding, custom based on the custom requirements for this particular deployment, and it's looking pretty nice. And it's essentially now at this point. We'll then send an email for the end user that the site collection is ready and welcome and have fun within your collaboration platform and do whatever you like within the template. And that's it. We have had two solutions, one for the UI, one was the remote timer job, which is actually responsible of processing the site collection requests. There are multiple different adaptations of the request and approval flow. You could take advantage of the Microsoft Azure storage queues and web jobs as well, which is a really neat way of automating some of that processing if needed. We kept things relatively simple within this example for a purpose, so you're able to more easily adapt what are we actually doing from a code perspective. And that's it. So thanks for your time for watching the video.